Hello and welcome to 48 Hour Heroes Origin Stories. I'm your host, Kirk Nordenstrom. Today, my guest is Indus Alelia. She's a very dear old friend of mine who's been doing the 48 for years and years and years and years and years. And we have a really good discussion about how she got involved, the transition from a previous career into filmmaking. And we also discuss the elements of the 48 that keep her coming back year after year, multiple times, sometimes in a year. And Indus is just a delightful person, and I hope you all enjoy our discussion as much as I did. So it really doesn't matter what you look like, say, or do. I know that I had a cooler weekend than you. Today, I have my dear friend, Indus. Is it Alelia? Alelia?
Both my parents say it differently, so I go with Indus Alelia. That's
Indus
how my
Alelia.
Dad says it.
All
yeah.
Right.
My mom says Alelia.
So Indus, we've known each other quite a while.
We have. A long time. I don't even know how long.
I mean, easily 15 years.
It's
been so long. I don't even remember how we met. Do you remember
how we
met?
Nope. Maybe, I don't know. I wouldn't even be able to get that. I have no idea.
Because I met
you.
I met you before you did the 48. So we just... It must have just been friends in common.
Yeah, film circle kind of thing or something. Yeah.
Maybe one of the Office of Film and Music meet and greets or something. And someone.
Yeah, it could have been.
Something like that. Yeah. But it was a long time ago.
Maybe Jeff introduced us.
Yes.
That might have been it. Yeah.
Yep. Wow, we're going way back.
Way back. Yeah. I did a 48 of his called Bad Apple a long time ago.
I remember that.
And yeah, I played the hooker. Yeah, you had to do some stunts. I did a little fight scene. No, not a fight. I think it was like a slap or a punch or something.
Well, at least fun. You know something in your professional.
In my realm. Yeah, my early days.
Let's throw the clock way, way back. How did you get into this industry? What's your journey into the world of filmmaking even before the 48?
That's a good question. So it's kind of a simple answer. I was a professional ballerina for my whole life, and then I got to be a certain age, and I guess I can just say it, in my 30s. And so I was like, oh, I should switch professions because there's only so long you have with ballet. And so I went from ballet, and I did some stunt training, and I started working stunts immediately after. So my transition was like a month-long transition from going from ballet to stunts, and then I just got booked right away, and then on the film set, I realized like it was something I really enjoyed doing and started to explore other paths as well. But yeah, stayed in stunts for, you know, like 6 years or something. Yeah, stunts is what got me into the film world. And it was such an easy transition. I kind of feel guilty talking about it.
You know, however it works.
I know, right?
Much nicer than, you know, the horror stories of people struggling and scraping and starving and...
Thankfully, it's like, in the stunt industry, like ballet dancers are like welcome. And so, because we're like, you know, we learn choreography well and we're disciplined. So, well, nice little
and super, super
corner.
Strong. Super, super strong.
And super strong. Yeah. Very strong. Yeah. Ridiculously strong.
I don't think most people realize that. But yeah, ballet dancers are very, very strong.
Yep. At 12 years old, I could leg press 1,200 pounds.
Jesus Christ.
That's too much for someone to do at 12 years old. Yeah.
I mean,
it was easy.
Yeah. When I was swimming, I could press with my legs an impressive amount, but I don't think that much. And I am much larger than you.
It's insane. Yeah. My little toes are stronger than the rest of my body.
So, I mean, what kind of stuff did you work in doing stunts?
So my very, very, very first stunt job, like official, you know, like proper on a film set, was Zombies of Mass Destruction with Kevin Homendami. Yeah, that was my first like stunt, you know, where we lived on set and like, you know, it was a proper like 6 week shoot or something. Before that, I had done like some, short films and things like that. And then I did some TV shows. I did an episode of Leverage. I did one of The Nation, like most of the other people in Seattle.
Like everyone except me worked on that.
Oh, show. Really? I know, right? Well, no, I never worked on Brim. You know, there's a few that I missed out on. But yeah, so yeah, just kind of so Zombies and Mass Destruction was my first one, and then yeah, just kind of bopped around all over the place from movies to series. Yeah.
Cool. So
sorry, does that answer your question? I feel like I went on a tangent.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
So how did you hear about the 48?
So early on in my film journey is when I found out about the 48s. I think like maybe 2007 or something, or
so very early on in the 48.
Very early on, yeah. And I think it was through Jeff, and I think it was Bad Apples, and maybe it was one before then, because he had done a few of them. And so he asked me to join on, and then when I went on, I was like, wow, this is so exciting. This is so cool. I want to do this too. Like, I want to have a team and like put together a movie in 48 hours. That sounds crazy and awesome. Right up my alley. And so I think it must have been 2007, because I think in 2008 is when we did our first, maybe 2009, I did my first 48 as a teammate.
Was it Spit Kids? Leader.
Oh, Hit Kids. Yeah, Hit Kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That would have been 2009, because
2009. Okay.
Remember, the drop off was at John Polnick's studio at Rung.
Oh, yeah.
There's a blast from the past.
Yeah, we shot a lot of it there too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you and I both had space in that studio. So
yeah,
that was convenient.
Oh, man. It was so nice to have a film studio.
Yeah. Having access to even that small psych wall was very
nice. So nice. Yeah, so nice. Yeah, so planes yeah, so landing. 2009. Oh, I know.
Planes landing 40 planes. Feet overhead was a little problematic for sound at points.
Yeah, I think we did a silent film.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I mean, that's what we drew, silent film. So, yeah.
That was such an adorable film.
That one is so cute. Those little actors were so cute. Acting like grown-ups and killing people with pretend guns. Yeah. Yeah, that was cute. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What was it?
So that was the first one.
That was the first team spitting film.
That was the very first team spitting. Yeah. 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 Very first one.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, how many times have you done it since? I mean, almost every year. Not every year, but almost every year.
I would say almost every year since 2016, for sure. It was a little intermittent between like 2013 and I think 2013 was one, and then we missed a few years. And then, but in total, counting the Stuck at Homes, we've done 23.
Oh, I've done 23. That's a lot. You've done it in cities other than Seattle too.
Well, we've signed up a couple of times for the LA 48. And then not been able to do it for just like my actors with personal reasons or whatever. And then, but I've done a lot of the international challenges, like the animated 48, mm-hmm. The global 48s. So yeah, I try to take advantage of all the 48s. That's why there's so many. I love it. I love doing the 48. I love it.
You've regularly come to our, you know, networking events. Mm-hmm. And I really admire the fact that you welcome new people into your group.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that, because that's one of our missions, is to help create community, make connections between people. And I've always really admired that you take that to heart and you bring new people in. So
yeah, I do. I love bringing in new people. And I also especially love bringing in child actors or young filmmakers, especially young female filmmakers, like ones that are still in like junior high or high school. I love bringing them in as well. And yeah, I really enjoy the camaraderie. I enjoy using new people, but then there's also like Mara, Stevie, like I use her as an actor
long time. She's at every social event, and
yeah, you know, I really just, like
it's,
her.
It's not a 48 for me unless Mara shows up.
Yeah, I know. Right.
And every year. Like,
yeah. Oh, every yeah. And sometimes, like, if I don't ask her early enough, another team snags her up. So
she's delightful. I love her.
Yeah, I like her too. And so she's like a pretty regular player on the team. I would say she's probably my most regular player. just because she's been doing it with me for so long. So a lot of the time I do also work remotely. And so the animation stuff works well for our team, especially during pandemic. So I was able to work with, like, I've even for the Stuck at Home 48, like, there was one of them we did, and I worked with, I don't know, I think 12 or 13 at least different actors from, I think they were in three different countries. And so we did, like, a few that were in different states in Australia, a few that were in different states in the United States. And then I believe we had some British actors on that one. So yeah, so on one, like, sometimes it's a lot of moving parts, but yeah, so remotely, I'm able to work with a lot of other people, but then when I do local, yeah, I feel like it's, I bring in a lot of new people when I do it remotely, but I also bring in a lot of new people when I do it local. So yeah.
Yeah. You've been playing around with the animation thing for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, this last year, the judges couldn't stop laughing.
Oh, really?
They thought it was so enjoyable and so funny.
Yeah.
Especially the Wookiee and, you know, the Chewbacca and Leia in it. That was, please describe this film for our listeners.
Called, okay, so it's called City Scene, and it's basically just an animated comedy where you peek into the lives of different people in the same city. And the one that you're talking about, there's three different sections. And so I actually have four different sections. And the Princess Leia and we called her Teen Princess Leia and Teen Chewie because they're kind of young. And yeah, it's really funny. They meet up and Teen Princess Leia kind of thinks that Chewie is actually Chewie. And he's just a guy in a mask. She's very disappointed.
Just reminding me of an episode of Futurama right now, now that I think about it.
All those episodes are good. Don't get me started on Futurama.
I'm totally blanking on the actor's name that voices Bender.
Joe DiMaggio.
Joe DiMaggio. He's back. He's official.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
When I heard that they were renewing that on Hulu. This is the most resurrected TV show of all time.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. This is, well, that and I think also Arrested Development kind of has gone through quite a few too. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah.
But this is Futurama's third network.
Crazy.
I know.
I can't believe it. I mean, it's because people love it. But last time they resurrected it, they thought more people were gonna watch, and they were a little disappointed that they didn't have the crowd that they thought they were gonna have.
Yeah, but they did more seasons on Comedy Central than they did originally on Fox.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But the backlash when people heard that Joe DiMaggio hadn't been brought back just yet was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even Mark Hamill chimed in.
Yeah.
He's like, I won't watch a Futurama without Joe DiMaggio as Bender.
Oh, that's so funny. I didn't know he said that.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, because he's a huge, huge, huge star in the voice acting world.
And for sure. Yeah.
Some people say the best voice of the Joker ever.
You know, he's so good. I mean, every time I see him in anything or hear him in anything, it's just voice is so distinct and his character acting is so on point.
Yeah.
I love him. Yeah, he's so good.
I think my favorite recent appearance of his was on What We Do in the Shadows. Have you seen that?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes. I can't get enough of that one. I feel like I've watched What We Do in the Shadows, the TV version. Oh my, I've watched it so many times. I'm embarrassed to say. Yeah.
I watch it endlessly. It is perfection. It is absolute perfection. Mm-hmm. I scrapped a screenplay I was working on because it was a vampire thing and kind of in the same vein. I was like, nope, I can't top this.
So good. I mean, I think your writing is good, so you probably can. But did you see the movie version of Yeah. And so that originally started out as a short that they did, and then they turned it into and it was funny too, like, so in the movie version, you know, when they're walking down the street and like people are yelling like insults at them, the first time they did that as a short, they were natural, like people were actually like saying names at them, so they tried to recreate that and they were hoping to get like, you know, the same kind of comments when they did the feature. But then when they walked down the street, because times have changed, no one yelled out any derogatory statement. So they actually had to like hire people to like say things.
Did you know that Taika Waititi acted in a 48 a long, long, long time ago?
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah, it's not really. It's not. It's not the greatest 48 film ever produced. But Taika Waititi's in it.
Yeah. Oh, that I'm gonna check it out. I love him.
Martin Freeman. Martin Freeman was in a 48 in Rome.
Oh, that one. Yeah, and he won his the award for best actor. Well, if I remember. If he didn't, that'd be terrible. Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the coolest.
He's been Bilbo and Arthur Dent.
Chef's kiss.
And Watson.
And Watson, yeah.
Yeah.
He's done a couple of things here and there.
He's okay.
Yeah, you know.
And his short appearance in Hot Fuzz is great.
Oh, God, he's so good. That's such a good beginning of, Simon Pegg. I love him too. But beginning scene. And that music just fits perfectly too.
Oh, yeah. I crack up whenever Kasha and I, for you listeners at home, that is, Kasha is my wife. And we share largely the same sense of humor, which is that of a 14-year-old boy. But if we ever just want to shut the other one down comedically, Martin Freeman's character in Hot Fuzz. Well, can I talk to the chief? New. That's how we shut each other down. New.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, that beginning is just so great. Really good.
Hot Fuzz, Sean. Big fan. Has a tiny little bitten. Shaun of the
Dead. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The doppelganger. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I mean, who wouldn't want Martin Freeman in their movie? My gosh. I wonder if he wants to do another 48.
Well, you know those British actors, they seem game to just do anything that's interesting.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought Benedict Cumberbatch would be Doctor Strange?
That's a good point. Yeah, you're right.
What a strange turn for him, but he's great at it.
Yeah, you're right. I do. I enjoy that. The British actors, they seem to be down for anything. And also, I will say too, like, for the 48-hour film projects, like, I feel like almost everybody wants to do them when you invite people on, you know, like, whenever I look for our locations or anything, like, the excitement level people have for participating in any way is really, like, their level of excitement is very high all the time. So it's actually not too hard to ask actors, really. You know, you just have to be able to know how to reach those famous ones. You have to know how to connect to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Chris and I both work really hard, as do all of our cohorts, around the world. Even though it is a quote unquote competition, we really try to stress that it's not really a competition. Because if you take it too seriously and you're not having fun, why put yourself through that?
Right. I agree.
Could you describe your 48 weekend, how you approach it?
Since we've been doing animation most recently, like pretty solid for the past couple of years, especially because of pandemic, talk about the animated approach.
Mm-hmm.
And so the approach is first, I sign up and then I ask people, do you want to be on it with me? And I usually start with one or two that I've either worked with before or am interested in working with, like how we talked about earlier, like maybe potentially bring on a new person. Because, you know, like a lot of the people here in Seattle, you know, I have a film background. So I'm able to, like, you know, get all the production stuff all organized, like paperwork. And then we do, like, I'm using quotes, a call sheet, you know, like a, here's what we're hoping is going to happen. Here's our expected timeline. And then because it's been going on for so long, like because my team has been doing it for so long, it's fairly easy to just divide everything up. And especially with the animation stuff, I may talk to the actors about the character and then so that they have some input, because with animation, like, it's nice to have a two-parter, like two people kind of or more talking about it. And so, so start off with a couple people on and then getting production stuff ready. And then, as soon as the weekend hits, we have a very strict timeline that we do. We're also we don't ever do any cheating or anything like that. So
you'd hear no end of hell from me if I found out you were cheating. Oh, you would get such a tongue lashing. Yeah.
No, it's just also not. Yeah, that's just not our style. Like the whole thing is to like challenge ourselves. And so we just say, here's what we have to do. Or, you know, I like take the lead and say, here's what we have to do. This, how many minutes you have, how many hours you have, everything has to be in by a certain time. to me with the audio, and then I animate for the whole 48 hours almost. And then throw the audio in and kind of go back and forth with maybe re-recording things here and there. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, it's done. Yeah.
how do you, and sometimes you're on time, sometimes you're not.
I would say, yeah.
And I only say this because we've known each other so long. We know.
Oh, yeah, it's fine. So yeah.
Because I used to, you had a couple of years where you had a hard time getting in on time. And so I got there like, you know, like next year, you better be on time. You better be on time.
Yes. Yes. It was a big, it was really hard. And I think too, like the early stages, like starting out, especially because like, I know one of the ones we were really late on was the first animated one we did. And that one, that was funny too, because like, so I really liked it. I thought it was really funny. I thought it was really clever. I was really pleased with it. And I did it with one other person, Jeffrey Dimmick. And he hated it. He was like, you better not turn that in. I was like, it's so cute. I was like, no, it's cute. I think we should turn it. He's like, no, I don't like it. I don't think you should turn it in. And so we kept debating probably for an entire day about whether or not to turn it in. And then you were like, just do it. And I was like, just do it. So we were late with that one, but it was a really fun one to do. And, you know, like, and I know you say this all the time. It's like, even when you're late, like, it's okay. Like, still turn it in. It's, you know, like, or even if it's like 1/4 finished or whatever, like, turn it in because that feels good. Like, and of course, I'd rather it be on time, but I'd rather have something in there just, you know. And the thing is, too, is like, it's kind of sometimes really fun to watch what other people did or didn't accomplish, you know. And yeah, we're all there to like support each other. So it's not a big deal. It's fun. Like, sometimes the mistakes are actually really funny. So, you know. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing that I really, really, really try to get across is it's crazy. Like statistically worldwide, it's been borne out over 20 years at this point that 15 to 20% are late every year.
Yeah.
And that happens.
As it does.
Thing goes, shit happens. And no one should feel bad.
No, not at all.
Late. I know it's inevitable that you're going to have some disappointment and whatnot in the moment of being late. But I can't stress it enough that no one should ever beat themselves up or feel that they failed because of this.
And I agree.
It happens. I mean, sometimes traffic was too much or
we
had a team that was 2 minutes late because it got stuck behind a train.
Oh, yeah. I believe it. Yeah.
When we were I mean, stuff like that happens, or computers crash, or
I've had my computer crash 3 different times when I was like rendering. There was once where I think we were late on this one too. I actually had to re-edit the entire thing on my phone because my computer completely crashed. So we were late on that one, but we turned it in.
Well, I really respect and admire that you've never let it get you down or
power you on it. Because you know what? Here's the thing, too. It's like even my completed ones, like not every 48 is like great, you know?
No, they're not.
So it's like, I mean, I feel like, you know, out of all the 48s, like 1 out of 5, there's like a gem, you know? At least for my team. I know some teams, like everything they do is amazing, but for us.
You know, we've only had one repeat city winner. The Harvey Brothers team challenge accepted. They won in 13 and 14, and they didn't win in 15. They got second place.
Yeah.
Cock puppets.
Oh, yeah. I remember that year. Yeah, that was a good
one. That was the super aggressive sock puppets that were making fun of the depressed guy who was doing his dishes. Matt Longmire.
They keep coming back. They kept coming back too after that, didn't the sock puppet?
No, but sock puppets are a very popular method of making films, and it's not just in Seattle. I've seen them from around the world. Rachel Faircloth has done puppets with her team many, many times, and it's if you ask me, it's kind of a smart way to do it.
Oh, it's so smart. Yeah, I mean, I've been tempted to use a little doll here and there. I'm not gonna lie. Like, let's just use stick figures. Yeah, that sounds like a good one. Like actual sticks. Yeah.
Well, do you remember you remember Team Awesome, of course, right?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Do you remember their first one, C. Kyle, that was all done with the illustration
Oh, gosh.
And it was all about the poor guy who had to work in Hitler's design department.
I vaguely remember. I'm going to watch this one again, but yes, I do remember it. Yeah.
Oh, man. But yeah, they took.
Oh, that was good.
And they shot stop motion, which they'd never done before. And it was the first time out. But that was the year that I think it was 2008 when the DSLR started coming out.
Oh, yeah. We were using DSLR. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was so popular.
Yeah. They shot. And I thought it was great that they had those posing dummies for illustration.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Just the idea.
So smart.
Just the idea of someone working in Hitler's graphic design department. What a shitty job. So my God.
They're a clever, creative team. They're a good team.
They had a poster in the background that said, two fronts are better than one. For all you history buffs out there, that's really, really funny.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Team Awesome. They always do an awesome job. Like, they're just... So that was their first one?
That was their first one.
Wow.
And they were great about bringing new people in, because they had the core group of people, you know, Mike Denman, Aaron Anderson, Joseph Lambert, they were kind of the core, and then they would just bring all these other people in year after year.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of surprised they never took the big prize, but they always did really, really well.
Yeah, they've had like audience favorite a few times, I think.
Yeah. Most of the years that they did it, they got audience. And then there was one year they did the documentary following three teams. That was 2012.
Oh, yeah.
And they got it done in time for the screenings. So we actually played that 7-minute documentary before each screening.
That is so cool. God, they're clever. They're a clever group. Like, especially, I mean, I'm sure it's all over, but, you know, I have so much more experience in Seattle, but there are just so many amazing teams out here. And like, I don't know if you're planning to talk to them, but the Flames, which I think they've changed their name, but the Flames.
They wanted to do it last year, but a family issue came up, and I love those kids, and I love their parents.
Oh, amazing. So talented and so eager to learn. And then they do such a good job. So like, I feel like, you know, here in Seattle, like we just have this great, like amount of creativity and like support. And, you know, I know that that's a lot with you and Chris. Like, you guys really have made it like this welcoming community for us. And so that's been, I think, one of the really exciting things to see is like how Team Awesome and the Flames, and then just like, I mean, oodles of other teams. Just, it's really been fun to see how they progress over the years. And then how you're talking about, like, you know, even some of the best teams have a flub here and there. You know what I mean? Like, we won't say who it was, but there was one team that always amazing, and they had a sound issue one year. So, you know, it just wasn't up to par.
Yeah, it happens. So it's just,
you never know. Like, you could be the best team that wins every single year and still have something come up that just doesn't make it right. Yeah, you're just like, oh, well. But they showed it anyway because it was a good film and we were okay with the sound. We're like, oh, that sucks. Your sound sucks, but... we support you.
That's one of my absolute favorite things is, you know, now that we can be back in theaters in a little capacity, and hopefully it'll be better this year.
Yeah.
You know, I've got 4 jabs in my arm now, so I'm feeling
pretty
confident. Good. And I just took, since I was at Filmapalooza last week, with 300 other people from around the world, I have my negative antigen test here.
Oh, nice. Good.
I think I'm getting a cold. But that's why I took the test. I wanted to make sure.
Good. Yeah.
But all the people I was hanging out with the most all tested negative on their way out. So.
Oh, good. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. My friend Indra. She's from the Netherlands. And her partner in crime, co-producer in the Netherlands, Wouter, who's also... the technical director for 48HQ. So he made all the DCPs and the run of show for the awards and everything. And I helped him out a lot with that. The two of them were flying together out of Amsterdam. They're getting, it was a week ago, Monday night.
Okay.
Tuesday morning. Indra got her negative test. They had to take PCR tests to fly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wouter still hadn't gotten his results. when they were at the airport.
Said, okay,
I'm gonna go take an antigen test just so I can get on the plane.
Yeah.
And right as he got the negative antigen test back,
yeah,
he got the results of his PCR test, which had giant red letters.
Oh no.
Of all the people going to Filmapalooza that could have gotten sick and not him. It was crushing to everyone.
He put so much.
He's really revolutionizing the technology we have at the 48. Mm-hmm. Like the digital drop-off that we've been doing.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, Cinema 48 is his.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's been so smooth too. I don't know if everybody else has had
we've had some easy experience.
Okay. For me, it's been really smooth and easy peasy. There was once where I was like, oh, did it upload? But it uploaded. It was me that was having the brain farts.
Yeah. The great thing about it is the upload can be late. You just have to have You have to have the checksum done. That was really a stroke of genius. I mean, the Four Points has been doing that for many years at this point.
We've done I've done the Four Point, and and it was definitely a godsend, because I think there was once where I did have to say, yep, here's my checksum number.
Yeah.
Here you go.
But so the Four Points was using a third party site to do the checksum, and then you do your upload. But now it's all integrated, and we saw previews of what's coming in the new website, and it's we're not going to have Cinema 48, 48hourfilm.com. Everything's going to be in one place. And
that's great.
There's going to be some social tools. I can't really talk about what, all the details are.
That's exciting.
But it's going to be as useful for city producers. Well, it's going to be as useful for filmmakers as it is for city producers. Yeah. It's going to be incredible.
Oh, that's so cool. And that's another great thing I really like about the 48. Last year, how 48 and Rizzle wanted to participate. Yeah. So just even that alone has created a new space for me as well with the people that I work with. So not only were we able to put our 48s up on Rizzle and have a great response and the wonderful filmmaking community there, by the way. Thank you so much for introducing me to Rizzle. But also, because the format and the way that Rizzle believes in creating and or presenting content, which I don't know if anybody else knows about Rizzle, but one of the great things about Rizzle is that you can't just blindly make a comment on someone's video. If you want to say something, you actually have to record yourself saying it, or
you
can only do a video response. So,
That takes a lot of anonymous bullshit out of it.
Yeah. It's great. It's so much more of a friendly, creative, safe space. And so they specialize in these 60 second episodes.
Yeah.
Or they 60 second episodes. And so
all vertical video.
All vertical video. Yeah. And it was a really exciting thing for me to learn about and to take advantage of. And now I think we have something 40,000 followers on there and half a million views. I know, it's because of the 48 that I even found out about Rizzle and then was able to create a relationship with the Rizzle people, where they're able to promote our material and things like that. So
Mark is going to be very happy to hear this. I can't wait to tell him.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for you to tell him, too, because I freaking love Rizzle now. I am a Rizzler. That's what they're called.
Sounds like a candy.
It does.
A super sugary, horrible candy.
Yeah, raspberry, blueberry flavor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Lemon cherry Rizzlers.
Yeah, it's a cross between Twizzlers and Razzles, I guess. Yeah.
There you go. That's exactly it.
Yeah. So, but I think that's just been really fun and exciting to learn about. And that's when you talk about how this person's creating this space for filmmakers on 48 to able to just do the drop off and then whatever other stuff you're not allowed to talk about that also sounds exciting. It's just that, again, that sense of community and feeling appreciated. And I think for myself and other teams, we see the 48 as an organization doing the best that they can for us. And it makes me want to do the best I can for the 48, it's a nice give and take.
This is my 18th year. Can you believe that?
Oh my gosh. No. 18 freaking years. Holy cow.
Yeah. And That's always been the goal, is to connect filmmakers. So the Sawantcho brothers won last year, and it was so rewarding to see them finally take the big prize. And I think they grew into the award. I've watched them grow up as filmmakers over the course of this, and they're such great guys. And they brought like their whole team to Filmapalooza, and I was so bummed that I didn't get to spend more time with them. Because with Wouter not there, I took on a lot more responsibilities. I didn't have as much social time. I still had social time, but not as much as I would have liked. But we had one night after the karaoke event. So that's like a legendary thing at Filma's karaoke thing. And Indra, my little Dutch sister, she wanted us to do a Meatloaf song together. And I'm like, no, not going to
do that. Oh, no.
And, I appreciate Meatloaf for the musician for what he was, but I'm not a fan. I'm never going to talk shit about him as a musician, because he was obviously a very talented musician.
Oh, yeah, very well trained. Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I don't want to do Meatloaf.
Yeah.
And Indra's cats are named Bowie and Gimli. And this is, why we're such good friends, because she's a complete dork that likes all the same things I do. And I was like, oh, okay, let's do Under Pressure.
Oh, yeah, Bowie, that's a good one.
And Queen. And she talked me into it. And I quickly realized, and luckily the whole Lightform team got in with us to help out. And I've been listening to this song for, close to 40 years now. And I don't know it as well as I thought I did.
Oh, yeah. I know the hook really well.
The
chorus.
Everyone knows that. But oh, I forgot that there was all the and at one point one of the Sawantchos I thought was handing me a glass of water. No, it was a shot of vodka.
Oh my god.
She's like, my voice is struggling. I'm like, oh, what is this? Oh my god. But we got to hang out for a while after that. And it was interesting because they were asking me, what do you want to see more from us? Like, I don't want to see any more than you want to give. I want you to have a good time and hopefully grow and meet people. But ultimately what I want of the 48 is just more people involved. And more people, more BIPOC people, more women, more LGBTQ participants, more children.
For sure.
That's what I want.
More
and I think, and more representation.
I don't know if it's in Seattle or like the same as other places, but like for our team, like we make a conscious decision to include a little bit of everybody just to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. And so obviously, like I talked about, like we have a lot of kids that we participate in, that have participated over the years. Some of them are grownups now, but and so.
Because we're old.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Back in my day.
Right. But I do think it's important to have, your people of color and Black people and, especially women. I feel like 98% of the time I'm an all female team.
Yeah, you definitely led the charge for women centric filmmaking. And that's fantastic. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
And you don't make a big deal out of it. You've just normalized it in your life.
Yes.
And I love that. It's like your statement is doing. You're saying, you're just like, let's just do it. Yeah, I love that.
But then I've also surrounded myself with other people that want that same result too, that also have that as a priority. So it's been really great. Yeah, that's been great. We've worked with a lot of Black actors and had Black crew people and also people of all sorts of backgrounds, races and colors and sexual identities, but mostly female and people of color and kids. That's us.
That's great, because so I've worked with Amy Lillard lobbying for the film incentive, which
woohoo, yes, $15 million.
It took us 16 years, but we got it.
Woo,
which is great.
Yeah.
And what she really likes about seeing the 48-hour films is, you know, being the state film commissioner, she sees a certain echelon of filmmakers, you know, the ones that are working on incentivized programs. And the 48 allows her to see the next generation of filmmakers coming up.
Oh, for sure.
Which is so great. And because there is so much talent, and it's not it's not just cis hetero white guys from the suburbs.
No. It's not like a comedy show where you're just gonna see a whole bunch of guys talking about dick jokes.
No, come on, let's be fair. Dick jokes are pretty funny. They can not inherently. They can be.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, they have their moments. But yeah, I think it's that's something that's really been rewarding about the 48. I'm sure like there's just probably more, even more diversity, you know.
It was interesting. So this year we had our first team from Accra, Ghana. We had the two city producers and the team leader for the winning team. And it was their first year.
Wow.
Great guys. I had so much fun talking to them, and they just, they mingled and met everyone. Nicest guys. And they're so excited because they want to use it as a way to get young people. Making movies in Ghana. And it's fantastic.
That's so great. I love seeing And then isn't like Mexico the biggest, Mexico City? Don't they Mexico's have like the huge. Biggest?
Yeah. They, yeah. One year they had 220.
That's so great. That is so many teams.
That's almost 20 screening groups.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, but I mean, I've seen some of the films that come out of there. They're really good. I mean, that's the thing. It's like,
One of my favorite 48-hour films of all time came out of Mexico City. And I think it was, the 2017 winner. I think I saw it in Paris. And it was an interesting take on a post-apocalyptic zombie
world. Oh, I think I saw that one.
Yeah, where the guy starts playing violin and the zombie is just coming towards him, and he has that connection with the zombie.
Oh, yeah. And then he, I gotta watch this again. There's so many 48s I need to watch over again.
You can spend a lifetime like watching all of them.
I know. But sometimes I'll do like a Google search or a YouTube search and just like find them. Yeah, it's pretty fun. Well, easy, like now because they use hashtags, you know what I mean? So it's a little easier like on social media to find them.
Some of the films this year were really incredible. The Cape Town, South Africa one, amazing. It's called Dissonance. You should definitely go look it up.
I'll check it out. I like a lot of the some of the South African like shows, like Raised by Wolves is a, I believe, a South African that's on HBO right now. They put some interesting content out. I'd be curious to see the 48.
That's also also Ridley Scott, so that doesn't hurt.
Well, yeah.
That's a great show. I gotta dig into season two.
Just started season two. But so good.
The Eindhoven Netherlands one this year, I really, really liked, and they won Best Editing.
Oh, good.
And so I had Amy Enser and Silas Lindenstein as judges for a certain section, more the post end of the judging. And this film from Eindhoven called Quarter Life Cruisers. It was really, really good.
Cute.
It's kind of
that sounds good.
Two women having a quarter life crisis, trying to get their get back into their, you know, rocker girl vibe and failing miserably. Really good film, and it won Best Editing. And
great,
it was so funny. I was at the Filmapalooza hotel one morning, and I actually had time to sit down and like eat a breakfast. And the two of the actors and the director sat down next to me. And I started talking to him. And the whole time I knew that the next day they were going to be getting this, you know, that and one or two other awards. And I was just biting my tongue. I know something you don't know.
You don't know. Oh, I bet they were so excited the next day, though.
Oh, they were. They're just delightful, delightful people. All three of them. And yeah, there were four people present from that. No, there were more. Mm-hmm. They brought like five or six people. It was crazy.
Oh, wow.
So I have so many Dutch friends now.
I know you're the Mr. Worldly already. You got like even more worldly friends.
Yeah. Filmapalooza.
So fun.
I'm so
yeah, glad. I haven't been yet. I can't wait to go though. Like I really do want to go to Filmapalooza.
Next year it's going to be in LA.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm totally going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not just for the city winners. It's for anyone who wants to go.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just usually before pandemic. It was a lot of times like in over in Europe and like.
We've had two in Europe, 2018 and 2020. Okay. It was okay. Paris and then Rotterdam. So that's the goal that we want to get back to. Is it domestic?
Yeah.
International?
Yeah.
I really want to see it in Prague.
Oh, yeah. That would be great too.
Prague is amazing. Although kind of the whispers going around is that we're Ricardo in Lisbon wants to get it.
I
wouldn't mind going to Portugal. I've never been.
Yeah. That sounds beautiful too. I mean, I see it again, just another amazing part of the 48. Like if people haven't done the 48 yet, I really hope they do. Like it's just such a rewarding experience. And then like how you said before, like, you know, just the meeting people, like, so the film we were talking about, the city scenes, I worked with two stand-up comics, one from LA, Lindsay Loon, and then one from New York, Anne Van Epp. And I'm now working with both of them on other projects that aren't 48, but there were, we've already actually released one of them on Rizzle and, getting ready to hopefully pitch, fingers crossed, another one. And yeah, so I think, you know, it just the camaraderie that you find with each other and you immediately know whether or not you can continue working with each other.
Yeah.
On a 48. You learn a lot.
You can experiment for a minimal amount of risk, you know, a weekend.
And you know, that's the other thing too, is like as a 48er, like you also can bring in people that you might not necessarily otherwise be able to bring in, like SAG actors. Because like having the SAG agreement is wonderful because then I can actually use, you know, SAG actors and without having to pay them, which, you know, I'm not opposed to paying people, but when you get like 20 people and it's a passion project, you know,
it can get expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. So I really like the volunteer aspect and that, you know, you can really just find a really talented group of, and even non-SAG actors too, like, you know, you can use everybody and like union crew or non-union crew. And yeah, it's just a fun way to like test your creativity and learn whether or not you can respect each other's boundaries.
Well, I did the, since I'm not allowed to participate in any 48s.
Yeah.
In 2014, I really had the itch to do one and city producers were.
I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. We're allowed to participate in the mm-hmm. 4 points. We're not eligible for any awards and that's fine. Yeah. I don't really care.
Yeah. Yeah.
I put together this wish list of people I wanted to work with and everyone said yes except for Eric Getz.
Was he already working on something?
He was working on something, otherwise okay, he would
I was gonna say he seemed like he would definitely want to win.
He's like, no, you know, I've known him, I've known, you know, those the Getzes forever. They're just delightful people.
Yeah,
but yeah, everyone said yes and I was like so afraid to ask almost everyone.
Oh yeah, yeah,
it's just my social anxiety like really held me back from asking a lot of people. And I can't remember who it was, but someone's just like, dude, just shut the fuck up and ask everyone.
Ask them. Yeah,
who's just gonna ask? Say, who's gonna say no to you? And yeah, in my head, it's like everyone, but
oh
I have issues. I'm working on them though.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah, I started taking Zoloft.
Oh yeah, that'll do.
Over 2 years ago,
yeah,
and the bulk of it's been during the pandemic. So, you know, I don't think I really know the full effect of it since social
networks
are so sparse.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
coming back from Filmapalooza, I had a transfer in Salt Lake City, and I had a checked bag, and my flight was delayed from Reagan National Airport. I get off my plane and my next plane is across the hallway. It had just closed up. It was
plane was supposed to go at
8:45. It was 8:47 and it was all closed up and I wasn't
gonna
make it. But I kind of knew that was gonna happen.
Yeah.
So I arranged to have myself put on backup for the 10:45 flight.
Yeah.
Then the Delta app says your baggage has made it onto flight, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like,
oh no.
Oh, crap. So it was going to get there 2 hours ahead of me. And I got to say, in my pre-counseling pre-medication days, mm-hmm. I would have lost it and just started punching people.
Yeah.
I would have completely lost it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hate being late and
yeah.
just losing control like that drives mm-hmm. me bonk. I'm not a control yeah. freak or anything, but you know, something like
travel. You like order.
Yeah. yeah when I'm yeah. traveling, I like order. You know, I got the TSA pre because I don't.
Yeah.
I don't want to deal yeah. with the sloppy flyers. People are like, shoelaces? What are shoelaces?
Oh, I have to take my shoes off? Oh, let just hang on, everybody. Let me do that. And let me just unlace all these laces
the people
I should have been doing already.
With the people that struggle with a belt buckle. Like, oh, what?
Yeah.
I want to get through the airport and onto my plane yep. and to my destination. Yeah. And so I went out. I went back through security. You know, took a smoke break because I needed it.
Yeah.
And then went over to baggage and just, you know, checked and said, hey, what's going to happen? And can you make sure that you, you know, Seattle people pull my bag when it gets there? And I was so calm. And I texted Kasia. I was like, I Zoloft for the win. I'm not freaking out. I'm amazingly calm. So it's
awesome. Great.
She's seen me have near meltdowns in airports before because you know, something didn't go according to plan or we were late and I would just be sitting there going
it's not my fault if you come near me and my arms just are swinging. Exactly. Oh, that's awesome. But you know, and that's the thing too, is like with the social anxieties, like I feel like because I've had a lot of teammates that either are like bipolar or have depression or, you know, have, you know, some sort of like mental block with, you know, mm-hmm. social skills and things like that. And so I think that like the 48 is a great place for people like that because it's a small group of people that you're working with and, you know, probably it's one of your friends. And so it makes it a little bit easier. And it makes it a little easier to meet new people on the set and to talk. And I think, like, I know for a fact that because I've also worked with a lot of people that it's not something we also talk about, but I bring on people that have special needs as well. And some of the special needs people have just been really appreciative and just, you know, voiced about like, wow, this made things so much easier for me. And like, I've been able to like take the things that I learned on your set and apply them to my natural, like my daily life.
Oh, that's
awesome.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So I think, you know, it's just, again, like, 48 hours, you got to get over some things real fast or like put them aside. You just don't even have time to think about them a little bit. Yeah.
Well, hey, Indra, we're at an hour now.
Oh, wow. Okay. Perfect. Yeah. Well, went by fast because I like you.
I know.
I love talking to you.
I haven't seen your face in 2 years. Every time I've seen you, you've been behind a mask.
I was behind the mask. I did. Sneak down like we were Kenneth and I went to the drawing in person even though it was still technically not kickoff.
Yeah, like it was a virtual kickoff, but we were doing it.
But yeah, we decided to come in person anyway.
That's what we're hoping. We're hoping to see a couple of people. That was it. I think that's how we're gonna do it this summer is we'll do an in person, but being in person is optional.
I think that's a really good idea because I mean some people are not going to be ready to go. Yeah. That's going to be a while. So I think it's a great option.
I've been to a couple of concerts now and I've traveled, you know, all the way across the country with transfers. Mm-hmm. I went to a film festival, 300 people. So I'm still cautious.
Yeah.
But I'm feeling better about things.
And I think here in Seattle, we've been really smart about like,
had one of the
like
best.
Even now. Yeah.
We've been the leader in like low infection rates and low mm-hmm. death rates compared to the rest of the country. So
yeah. And I think people are still masking up even though it's not required.
I am.
Yeah. Me too.
Now that I have my negative test,
I
could feel more confident about, you know, because mm-hmm. the mask protects you from me.
Yeah.
Mask doesn't protect me from you.
Me from you.
Exactly. That's been the hard thing for people to understand. As you know.
A lot of mask confusion. Yeah. Mask confusion. Yeah.
People
it was
just
so nice to talk to you.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to I can't wait to do some more 48s this year. I'm just itching, ready to do one.
Yeah.
Can't wait. Can't wait.
Well, thank you so much. It's so good to see you and see your face and hear your voice. And
Same.
And let's definitely keep in touch. It's been too long.
I know. Oh, and I have some kimchi for you. So.
Oh, sweet.
So if you're back in Seattle, I'll drop that by.
We have some honeycomb if you want some from our
hive. I do want some honeycomb. Yes, right. I do. Okay, that sounds like a very good trade. All right, I'll text you.
Bad time. All right. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
So it really doesn't matter what you look like, say, or do. I know that I had a cooler weekend than you.
48 Hour Heroes Origin Stories is a production of Media Without Borders and the Seattle 48 Hour Film Project.